Today's episode comes just in time because there might be something right around the corner that you aren't expecting that could knock you flat. If not, for your resilience, I'm going to share three ways that you can build up your resilience. They're easy to remember, simple to implement, and they're not going to cost you a penny. Hi, you're listening to I Meant to Do That, the podcast that invites you to live and lead authentically. Hey, I'm Carrie. I'm a married mom to four, a proud Nana of two, and a recovering people pleaser with a dash of ADHD. I'm also a certified life and leadership coach and a behavior specialist. Have you ever found yourself in the exhausting loop of overdoing and overbeing, striving for that unobtainable perfection, trying to be everything to everyone, wondering how you got here? Been there too. Together, we're going to unpack topics and strategies that empower us to break free from the pressure, be unapologetically ourselves, and focus on what truly matters most. So, are you ready to join me? Let's explore living authentically with God, with others, and with ourselves, one conversation at a time. Hello, welcome back to another episode of I Meant to Do That. I'm Carrie, so glad that you're here today. Our topic today is quite relatable, and I think it's very timely. I do not have a crystal ball. I have no mind powers like that, but I know that very soon you will be going through a situation that seemingly hits you out of nowhere. You thought you had things figured out. You're on your path. You're doing the things that you need to do, and suddenly, here it is, some type of significant, seemingly catastrophic change coming out of nowhere, and you have to deal with it. I know that it's coming, but I also know you've been through this before, and somehow you made it through. You're here, right? So you made it through. But the goal for us, I think what we all really want, is we don't just want to make it through, even when things kind of blindside us and come out of nowhere. We want to have a life that is lived fully, an abundant life. We don't want to be tossed around and knocked off course. And in order to do that, we need to have this thing called resilience. So that's our topic for today. We're talking about resilience. And I think it's something I'm going to need in the next couple of weeks. I know I'm even looking ahead. And something isn't necessarily going to hit me out of nowhere, but I'm looking and I know that I have some challenges in my near future and I'm going to need resilience. So today I want to share with you more on the topic so we're really clear on this thing called resilience, some of the components that are a part of a person who has resilience, but since life is never smooth sailing, it's more like a roller coaster with a lot of ups and downs. There are times when, you know, even on our best day, the resilience is low. And so I have three things that I want to give you that you can use, that I'm going to use in the next 3 weeks, that will help build your resilience and give it a boost so that when these difficult things happen, you and I are able to maintain our core purpose, move forward with authenticity, integrity, and direction, even in the face of dramatically changed circumstances. When I was in my childhood, there was this toy called the Weebles. And the commercial was, the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Have you ever played with those? That's resilience. When things happen, resilience gives you the ability to recover, to bounce back, to just not be flattened out where we're just barely surviving. We don't want that. We want to have a life of thriving. So let's talk about it. Have you ever met someone who shared you a story and then another story, and maybe next week they share you a story, and there's a theme here, and the theme is their life is really hard. They're barely making it, and they're miserable and worn out, and it's kind of an ongoing saga, but you hear their story, and you're thinking in the back of your mind, I don't know how to reply to this person because I don't really think their stuff is that big of a deal. I know I've been there, I've heard that, I'm sure you have too. But then there's also the person that you might meet who they share you their story and some of the things they've gone through or going through right now, and you notice something significantly different in their demeanor, in their attitude, how they're talking about it, and even how you can see them move through it. It's inspiring. You think to yourself that possibly you would not have the fortitude, the courage, or the confidence to handle the situation in the way they are, the character, and it truly is inspiring. I just heard a story like this a couple nights ago. I was at a Christmas concert and the lead singer was sharing his own personal testimony, and it made every one of the songs that he sings more meaningful to me now, knowing his life story and some of the trials and the difficulties that he went through. Man, resiliency is just the ticket, right? It helps us have more success at our work. It helps us build stronger relationships. If you're a parent, you can, if you have resiliency, then you're modeling that and teaching that to your kids. With resiliency, we have more energy and time for the things, the people that we love most. It inspires others. Seriously, the more I study resiliency, the more motivated I am to see what areas I can level up in. If you are a resilient person, you're going to have some different characteristics or qualities about you. Resilience is built up of a few different parts or components. Now, we don't have to have all of them, and they don't all have to be at 100%. But if you think of a time that you made it through a hard time or a challenge or some significant change, and you did it with some resilience, chances are you had one of these three things. I'm going to describe them real quick, and I want you to think about which one sounds like you, okay? If you can't do that on your own, ask someone who knows you really well, and they'll be able to tell you. The first one is tolerating ambiguity. This is a mark of resilience. This means that even though, I mean, nobody likes uncertainty, nobody likes it. But if you're able to tolerate it, it means that you are okay with not knowing what's going to happen next. You're okay with making a decision and doing the thing to keep getting you forward, even though you're not sure what that person's going to do or what that person's going to say or how they're going to feel about you or if it's going to work or if it's not going to work. It's living in the gray area. Nobody likes uncertainty, but some people have the ability to, even though they don't know what will happen, they can take that and harness it and channel it and still move forward in a direction without that angst, that anxiety, that overthinking. Is that you? Do you have that? If you do, that's pretty cool. The second one we're going to talk about is called self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is when you know your strengths and you know your weaknesses, and even if one piece is missing, it's that knowing that you can do it and it being real because you know yourself. So for example, let's say you're taking a class and you're not gifted in this area. It is not in your, it's not in your wheelhouse. It's definitely not something that you have a track record of success, but you know that you can learn and you know that you could try hard and that you can persevere and you'll be able to do it and have your level of success that's realistic. Another example would be if you're an entrepreneur and you work really hard, you pour your heart and your soul into building something, and then some very difficult challenges happen, maybe completely out of your control, and that thing fails. Self-efficacy means that you pick yourself up and you know that you have what it takes to build something new because you know that you have the skills that you have to do something else. If you have that, that's pretty cool too. Another one is accountability. And accountability is just what it sounds like. You take accountability for your choices, your decisions that you make, You're not waiting for someone else to come in and fix it or pick up the pieces that are yours to pick up. And if you need help, you need outside resources, you take that on and you make it happen. You go and you get what you need. It's recognizing your responsibility and taking action. And those two, if you have both of those, they're a pretty good team. And if you don't have any of those, you might have this one. This one is realistic optimism. These are people who can take control of their thoughts. Even if your personality lends toward more detail-oriented, being able to see problems and things, maybe even consider yourself to be low energy or an introvert, or maybe even at times a pessimist, you can get that ability to realistically see the possibility and what can happen and have that hope before you rather than getting lost in the weeds of discouragement. So that's realistic optimism, and anybody might have that too. Maybe you have all three. If you have all three, you're probably a highly resilient person. Well, the good news is, if you do not feel like you've been a resilient person throughout your life, this is something that isn't fixed. It's not you either have it or you don't. You have resilience to a level 5 or you have it to a level 8 and there's nothing you can do about it. That's not the case, which I'm so grateful for, because there are things that we can do to build it and grow it. Why I wanted us to go through those three traits is because, you know, you're going to see the most growth when you at least know what you already have. Why not build up something that's already there versus trying to pick the lowest point and focus all of your energy and time on that? Now, by the end of this episode, there's a high possibility that you aren't going to remember much of what I just talked about because, I don't know, unless you're really into this kind of thing, you might not remember words like self-efficacy. I know you're smart, but you have so many other things that you need to focus on in your day. It might not stick with you. So I have three things that will stick with you that you can do going forward. And you can do these things every single day. You can do them for the small problems. You can do them for the big problems. You can do the things that you choose to do that require resilience. And you can do the things that are thrust upon you and you have no choice and you have a bad attitude about it. You can do these things to build your resilience. You can do them tomorrow. Are you ready to hear them? I hope so. I am being a realistic optimist right now. In fact, I would say I'm probably employing some tolerating ambiguity as well, because I have no idea. I really have no idea what you're going to think about this episode. I'm throwing them out there and I'm hoping that you like them, but I don't know when I'm making it. One piece that I can't spend the time to talk on right now that's pretty vital, especially when it comes to resilience and being able to push through things that we aren't necessarily strong in. Like for me, the tolerating ambiguity piece. The reason why I can do that and push through that is because there's other components that I'm leaning into to build up my resilience. And one of those is my driver or my motivator and my values. And if you want to hear more about your driving forces and your values, I will link that episode in the show notes. But that's also very key to know about yourself. Okay, I have three things that I'm going to share with you right now that are simple and easy to do and have a wide range of applicability, and they are going to help you build up your resilience for any problem that comes your way. Are you ready? Okay, I've got them for you. The first thing that you can do is lighten up and laugh. In the middle of difficulty, what stops us from laughing, finding a moment of joy? Here are some fun facts about laughter. Laughter reduces pain in the body. It clears up stress and clutter from our mind. And it's like opening an escape hatch in a toxic stress room. And if you start to think maybe laughter and all of that is for kids, and this is such a simplistic way to build your resilience, you're just not following me on this one, keep listening. I have a story to share. This guy's name is Viktor Frankl. If you haven't heard of him, you might want to look up his biography because it's pretty amazing. But he was an inmate during World War II who was in concentration camps, four of them actually, who believed that choosing a laughter and having a sense of humor can help you rise above any situation. He's a very famous psychiatrist. Well, he's no longer living, but he became a very famous psychiatrist. He wrote many books. Viktor Frankl probably had a few components or traits for resilience, but this one, my guess is he had it at a level 10. He and his sister escaped a concentration camp and went to Australia eventually. However, he lost his father, he lost his mom and his brother in Auschwitz. He lost his wife in another concentration camp, yet he wrote, "The attempt to develop a sense of humor and to see things in a humorous light is some kind of trick learned while mastering the art of living. Yet it is possible to practice the art of living even in a concentration camp, although suffering is omnipresent." That's just crazy that he went through all of that. He's like such a great example of how laughter and lightening things up and developing a sense of humor is appropriate, even in some of the most dire circumstances. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." It makes me feel good to know that someone like Viktor Frankl felt it's totally appropriate to have humor in some of the most dire situations, and it can be like good medicine. This is the one that I lean into the most. And sometimes I felt like, I'll be candid with you, like, is this, I don't know, am I just like this big kid and refusing to grow up? But this is just how God made me. I definitely utilize my humor in situations that are challenging. All right, number two, and this one has helped me a great deal. It did not come naturally to me. But the number two tool I'm going to give you is know your adversaries. Another way to say this is know what pushes your buttons. What are the things that challenge your resilience? These are the things that are like the kryptonite to the super resilient powers that you already have. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just disarm the buttons so they couldn't get pushed? It is possible. It is. And I'm sure that, you know, through the years, we have all made great strides in disarming certain buttons or eliminating certain buttons and doing so much better at not taking things so personally or reacting to things. Just over the years, we've learned and we've grown in that area. But when we are in times of stress, uncertainty, we're living in the gray area, we are faced with that ambiguity. When we have those unknowns, we often are operating from a place where we have forgotten how to use all the things we've learned. Those buttons start operating again. So one thing that resilient people are is aware of their adversaries so they can avoid them when possible and give themselves a break. Why let life be so hard, especially when you're walking through challenge? The other thing they do is they see them for what they are and they move forward. They recognize their button was just being pushed and they can deactivate it. So what are some of your adversaries? I'm going to list some that I know of and you can keep building your list. Maybe some of these are familiar to you. How about last minute changes? You have your plan and suddenly you can't do it the way you have it planned anymore. That might be one of your adversaries, one of your buttons. Juggling several tasks at once. You do not like to multitask. So if you have change, hardship, challenges coming up, you might want to disarm that button by taking some things off your plate because maybe normally you can handle it, but you won't be able to handle it in these situations. How about a chaotic or messy physical space around you? I have a child who, well, she doesn't live at home anymore, but when she did, she would do her anger cleaning. And I'll tell you, I liked it because she could clean like nobody's business. She might be listening to the episode. Thank you for all of your anger cleaning. It helped me out a lot. We called it her anger cleaning as a joke, but when things are really messy and she knew that she had some stress going on, she'd go and she'd clean up all the space because she knew she would feel better and operate better with the house clean. Another one is skipping meals. Maybe you better not skip a meal. Maybe when things are like that, you realize you forget to eat a meal. Some of us forget to eat a meal. I forget to drink water. The whole day will go by and I realize I didn't drink any water today. How about running late? Maybe that is your adversary. Our options here are making some strategic changes in our habits or in our boundaries so that we can eliminate them. Or if we can't eliminate them, sometimes it's not within our power to do so. Then what we do is we have that awareness so that we can recognize, oh, maybe I'm overreacting because of all this kryptonite around me. Like the time when the kitchen was being remodeled for months and I don't operate well with a messy kitchen. I have all this kryptonite around me that I can't do much about. So I just can be aware of that, figure out something to do to take care of myself in that moment, but move forward and not beat myself up for it and feel bad that I'm overstressed even more because of that going on. So know your adversary. That's such a powerful one. And I say adversary or buttons. It could be people. It could be problems. It could be tasks, whatever it is for you. The last one that I want to share with you is have a menu of self-care habits. Self-care is a buzzword, just like resilience, but hang in there with me because I'm going to tell you something maybe new. Okay. Good things that support us, they replenish our emotional and spiritual health, our physical health. That's good self-care habits. Now, this isn't always as easy as it sounds, especially if you are someone who is, oh, maybe the accommodator, the giver, the people pleaser amongst your people in your family circle or at work. Maybe for years and years and years, you have felt like you need to give to others in abundance and neglect yourself. And that's just part of your gifting. That's just part of who you are and what you do. Maybe you hear the verse, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And you prefer to take out that word only. And you kind of rephrase that so that you're being left out. If that's you, you're exhausted. You are burning both ends. And I want you to hear something loud and clear that you taking care of yourself is not selfish. You thinking about yourself is not selfish. Yes, there are people out there who are self-centered, but resilient people in proper balance know how important it is to take care of themselves, especially when you're going through a time of challenge or change. Things are difficult. Self-care is very important. But here's something else to think about, okay? Sometimes how we use the words that we use or the things that we're using for self-care, they actually are an imposter and it's sabotaging us. It ends up throwing us off course, draining our energy, filling us with thoughts of regret. Like, why did I use my time that way? And if you think you're the only person that does that, I promise you, it's not true. I say this to myself. Why did I do that? That wasn't a good use of time. And I don't think I've had any client who hasn't at one time or another said to me, somehow I ended up scrolling through Instagram and I thought it was going to be giving me a break. But now that I'm thinking about it, I really wish I wouldn't have spent my time doing that. So here's my example. When I was a young mom, my husband traveled for days at a time. One of my three kids was more of a strong-willed category, and my toddler was very, very clingy in the clingy category. So strong-willed and clingy. And I knew that I valued community. I thrived in connecting and living life with others. That was kind of my my self-care. So at this time, my self-care was to make plans with a friend, and we would all get together, we'd have supper, we'd have pizza, we'd put in a movie, we would just hang out and eat some junk food. If it was the summertime, we'd fill up a swimming pool with water, throw the little kids out there to play, and just then jam them up, just have a good time. Pizza, food, movie, that's what I would do. But now fast forward a few years, my husband was working long hours. He wasn't around much. Then I had 4 kids and I lived over 1,000 miles from my good friends that I would hang out and do life with. I was lonely. I was very stressed out. And I had the strong-willed child who is now a teen. And I had a new clingy baby. My 4th child was born and he had some health issues. And I'm not sugarcoating anything here today, I guess, but I was sad. I truly was sad. So self-care was not easy. I didn't have good close friends that I could get together with and say, can we do supper together and just hang out, throw a movie in? And not only was it not easy, but I felt like I didn't really have options for self-care. That's how it felt to me. I had run out of creative ideas. I didn't know what to do. So my self-care at that time was put the kids to bed at 10 p.m. because, you know, when you have teens, you can't put them to bed at 7:30. And then I would watch Netflix until late. I'd enjoy a special treat. And it felt like I was taking care of myself. However, true facts were I routinely was not getting enough sleep. I was eating chocolate and other treats late at night that really wasn't contributing to my health goals. And although it felt like an escape from feeling alone, and it felt like I was treating myself, it really became my only self-care routine. And it didn't really take care of me. There was no element of the things that really bring life and restoration to my soul on a regular basis. There's nothing wrong with watching Netflix and eating a treat, but I wasn't truly taking care of myself in the way that I needed to. I wasn't exercising. I was staying up late. I was waking up tired because I couldn't sleep in. And so that added to more stress and definitely not a good combination. When you're looking to take care of yourself and you know that you need to do it, think about what bucket you're pulling out of. You have a bucket of things. And if you don't know what those things are, just give yourself a minute to think about it. But you have a bucket of things that when you take time or you pull out of that bucket and you use something from it, it's going to replenish you, refresh you, rejuvenate you. It's going to just do what self-care is supposed to do. And then you have the bucket that is kind of the fake stuff, or maybe it's the superficial stuff. So that for me would be staying up late, watching Netflix and eating popcorn and M&Ms or something. As I can do that once in a while, but I need to know what it is going to do for me and not expect it to be able to do the things that it can't do. So what is in your bucket? Your self-care, rejuvenating bucket. I did one of those today. I went outside. I drove over the bridge and I went for a walk on the beach. I know not everybody has a beach close by. For the majority of my life, I didn't live anywhere near a beach. I've lived in all kinds of different places throughout my adult life, but for me, it's outdoors. So find something that you can do. And I love birds. I love bird watching. And so that's me. But find those things. Make sure you're pulling out of the right bucket. So we went over 3 things today. I bet one of them is something that you feel like you could maybe pull a little bit of that more into your life. Is it lighten up and laugh, looking for the comical, the light side of things, not taking yourself or others so seriously? Or could it be knowing your adversaries, knowing what pushes your buttons, making those adjustments or deconnecting the button, or recognizing, I'm just kind of being pushed by a button right now. And so I can go on with my day. Or is it having that menu of self-care items and taking care of yourself. Okay, find something, use one of these things in the week ahead and tell me if you notice a difference. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you guys have a great day, and I'm looking forward to our time in the new year. There will be a break from the episodes. I won't be having anything for you next week. I'm going to be gone out of town. I don't have anything pre-made ahead of time because I've just been doing the best I can. Episode 25 today. I'll have the 26th episode when I get back, and we'll be in 2024. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon to be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.